Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. And beloved, God is in the miracle working business. He hasn't changed. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. With the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message I started yesterday, delighting to do His will. And as I shared yesterday, I believe there comes a time in the life of every Christian as we grow up in the Lord. You know, we start our Christian walk, regardless of our circumstances or how literally or physically old we are, we start as a babe and we desire the sincere milk of the Word. And as we feed upon the Word of God, as we avail ourselves of the wonderful teaching and ministry that is available through the body of Christ, we can grow in the knowledge of God. Our hearts can be open to receive the deeper truths, the meat of the Word. That is so important for our growth, to hear godly teaching, those who will expound in truth the Word of God, and not man-made doctrines or their opinions or their beliefs. So it's so easy for us as humans to get sidetracked. We need to stay right in the middle of the road and stay in the Word of God. We won't go astray if we know the Word of God. And it's just not a matter of getting your spiritual nourishment, if you will, from anointed ministers of the gospel, but also we have an individual responsibility before the Lord to study and to meditate upon the Word. Remember what the angel of the Lord told Joshua, if he would meditate thereon, if he would get the Word of God so in his heart, to be strong and of good courage, he would be able to walk in that very intimidating challenge of filling the shoes of Moses, if you will, and lead God's people into the promised land. So we all have an individual responsibility to grow up. But we're talking about the subject now, delighting to do the will of God. And I made a few references in Psalms, Psalm 1, verse 2, he that meditates and chews upon the Word of God, he shall be as a tree planted by rivers of living water. And in Psalm 40, the Word tells us, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. God writes his laws upon our heart. And as we grow in the Lord, he begins through the power of the Holy Spirit, through that marvelous process of sanctification which occurs, he draws us into a place that we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. We become Christ-like in our nature, in our character. We manifest the fruit of the Spirit. We subdue the carnal nature, the works of the flesh. And beloved, that's what maturity is all about. But we were talking about what God was telling us in Leviticus, the 26th chapter, verse 1. He says, you shall make no idols nor graven image, neither shall you rear up a standing image, neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. Now, at first reading, we who are living in the 21st century say, well, you know, it doesn't apply to us. However, the principle of worshiping other than God certainly does apply, because human nature has not changed. And as I mentioned yesterday, there can be many different idols that we place there, even as a Christian, saying that I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I love God. But when it comes down to it, there are other things that are our first attention and our first love. Remember in the book of Revelation, Jesus spoke to the churches. He had words of criticism, words of rebuke and exhortation for them. And he said to one of them, you've lost your first love. We put other things, sometimes even ministry can be an idol, if you will, take the place of love and service to the living God whom we serve, which is the, if we see if our relationship flows out of our ministry flows out of our relationship with God, that can be a very beautiful thing. But there's one final, you know, I shared there's things like sports or prestige or money or popularity or the various things that matter to us as humans. But the final idol to go, beloved, I believe, in my opinion, is the idol of self. And this is a question that only you can answer before the Lord. Is Jesus really, truly the Lord of your life? And I think, you know, if all of us are honest, we have to confess that that last idol is self. Self sits upon the throne of our hearts. Why? Because, beloved, when you think about it, isn't that what sin is? Sin is a transgression of the law of God, of the will of God. We choose to indulge our flesh. We let our anger, our temper get the best of it, just as an example. We may allow the lusts of the flesh and gluttony or the sexual drive, whatever it is, to rule our lives. And beloved, God is drawing to us to a place where we're so in love with Him that rather than fulfilling the things that our self desires, that we, and I'm not talking about basic things right now, you know, I mean, God knows that we need food and clothing and a house to live in. We need those things. Jesus said, your Father knows the things that you have need of, but seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. And so, beloved, my heart's cry, my prayer is, Lord, that I would really put you first in all things to the best of my ability. I've served God for years. I preached the gospel for years, but I know that there's a more complete and a perfect work that God wants to do. And so I'm asking God to search my heart. Lord, try me and know my way. See if there be any wicked way in me that I would not put sin, you know, indulging whatever it would be, self, rather than putting God's will and heart before my own. And in fact, that's why Jesus is such a beautiful example to us. There was no sin found in him. His meat was to do the Father's will. He fulfilled the act of redemption, not as a God who came to earth, although he was very God, but he laid aside his glory. He made himself of no reputation. He put on human flesh, and as our perfect substitute, he was able to offer himself to fulfill the judgment of God. We were worthy of death. God told Adam and Eve, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. They didn't die immediately physically, they died immediately spiritually. But even God had a plan in action, and that was the plan of salvation before the foundation of the earth. So, beloved, there's nothing, no more beautiful gift that you can offer to the Lord than complete surrender to him. And I just sense in my spirit, these last several weeks, this is a time of great victory for the body of Christ and individually. See, that victory for the body of Christ is going to come when it happens in your life, in my life, when we begin to be filled with anticipation and excitement and expectation, waiting to see the miracles of God. And perhaps there's no greater miracle than to see our lives transformed, to see the lives of our loved ones transformed. You know, it's nothing for God to speak the worlds into existence. It's another matter. I think perhaps the greatest miracle, the greatest job of the Holy Spirit is to get humankind, those who love him, those who have been born and burst into the kingdom of God, to get us to seek him, to seek God's way. And then finally we wake up and realize, well, that was the best way all along. But we're kind of dense. God is so patient with us. That's why he's got such long suffering, because he bears with you and I. All right, praise God. Well, let's go. I said we were going to look at chapter 26 of Leviticus, and if I don't get going, well, we'll never get past the first few verses this week. Okay, what does it say in verse 2? You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Two things there. Reverence the sanctuary of God and keeping his Sabbaths. And I would say to you, beloved, this is not Jewish legalism or the series of, you know, laws that were laid down mosaically, but this, the Observance of the Sabbath was something God even did. Remember the days of creation? God finished his work, and on the seventh day he blessed it and rested. That's the Sabbath of the Lord. And we who have entered into Christ have already entered in to the Sabbath rest of God. But I believe as we look at Scripture, there is a principle of taking regular time, taking a Sabbath of the Lord, whatever it might be. You know, for ministers, for example, you know, Neil and I used to take Mondays off. Why? Because Sunday is one of perhaps the most demanding day of the week. And, you know, I'm not going to get in argument Saturday, Sunday. You know what? That's between you and the Lord. But I'm talking about the principle of the Sabbath rest, where you can draw aside from God, lay down your responsibilities. I mean, and I know there may be seasons in our life you simply can't do that, but to the best of your ability, God is speaking about bringing balance in our lives. God did that with his disciples. He said, when they were ministering constantly, he said, come away. He went away to pray by himself in the mountains to be with his Father, and he also at times drew his disciples away. Come away, get away from the crowds. Let's spend some quiet time together. He knows our frame. We don't have glorified bodies yet. We can't walk through walls yet. But we need that balance in our lives. That's why temperance, yeah, isn't that right? One of the gifts of the Spirit, or excuse me, not gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, temperance. And that, in other words, that we can allow our spirit man to control the bodily appetites. We can be workaholics. There's no balance in that. And so God is calling us to reverence his Sabbath and also to reverence his sanctuary. So many people I've seen in days past, they'd go to a church service like it was a theatrical performance. God, you'd be moving by the Spirit. And many times Christians can sit and talk to one another while the man or woman of God is speaking or moving through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, I'm not talking about necessary communication, but people have been so insensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God, they just sit there carrying on a conversation. Do we believe the presence of Jesus, the Spirit of God, is in our midst? If we really did, I suggest we might behave ourselves differently. I remember Brother Glass years ago used to say, if you want to talk, talk out in the vestibule. When you come into the sanctuary, come in an attitude of prayer. Be in prayer before the service starts. And beloved, we saw the power of God move in those services. Well, I'm going to stop preaching because I feel I'm starting to meddle. So I love you, dear ones. I invite you to write, share your prayer needs. The announcer will give you our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.